As we head into 2025, one of the biggest questions we have to wonder is, what are the St. Louis Cardinals going to do? Are they going into a complete rebuild? Let's talk about it right here. Some of the news, or some of the words you just never want to hear if you're a St. Louis Cardinals fan, is, are they going into a complete rebuild? And I can tell you, surely that is not the Cardinal way. Hello, everyone. Welcome to First Pitch, your daily news notes, everything under the sun when it comes to your daily MLB recap. I'm Christian Rau. You can find me on Twitter at @FirstPitch_MLB. Joined here by Troy Brock. Find him on Twitter, X, at Troy B Baseball. And Troy, we're going to talk St. Louis Cardinals today because slightly, weirdly, we have a brief minute to catch our breaths in free agency. Now, I just said that, so I'm recording this in the evening, right before you're going to hear this. So I probably just jinxed us. So you're going to probably hear this, and there's probably going to be millions of things breaking as we're having this conversation right now. And we're probably going to have a second episode to come out. Maybe, who knows? But regardless, we're going to just break into another team. We talked about the Phillies last week. Now we're going to dig into another team here, the St. Louis Cardinals. And they have such an interesting path so far, what was going to happen maybe into 2025 and beyond. And it all starts on what happened this past season. There was a lot of expectations for this team, the St. Louis Cardinals, after having a dreadful year in 2023, one of the worst seasons. I believe it was one of their worst since 1990, if I remember correctly, from some of the past reporting I've done. But it didn't get too much better in 2024. They missed the playoffs yet again. And in 2025, it sounds like they're finally going to enter that dreadful word of the rebuild. But the biggest question, Troy, is will it be a full rebuild? And what does that mean for the St. Louis Cardinals? What's your overall thoughts on how the Cardinals performed in 2024?
It wasn't great, that's for sure. I mean, especially when you look at guys like Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado, who both struggled throughout the season, and they're both proven veteran guys. And yes, they are getting up there in age. Arenado's 33, and I think Goldschmidt's 34, 35. And yeah, they both struggled, and now Goldschmidt is a free agent, and Nolan Arenado is probably going to be traded. So it's 2024 wasn't great, and we'll have to wait and see if Nolan Arenado does actually get traded. But if he does, that is could be a good start to their potential first full rebuild in God knows how long.
Yeah, and there's going to be some words I hear saying the rebuild already started with way the way that they traded over the last two trade deadlines. I'm going to push back on that. I don't think that the full rebuild has started yet because they haven't got rid of some of their top players. Although they moved on from a guy like Jack Flaherty, he was in his down portion. And he's not the same Jack Flaherty that he is right now when he was traded to Baltimore just 2 years ago. Trading away guys like Tyler O'Neill. I think that was a mistake, but I don't think that was the part of the rebuild. Moving guys like Harrison Bader, Jordan Montgomery. I don't know if that was part of the rebuild. I think that was just them trying to retool. It didn't work. I think there's a big reason, a big difference between rebuild and retool. Would you say so?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 100% agree.
And we're talking about Paul Goldschmidt. I just want to do a cleanup here. 37 years old, a little older than you thought on that. But he had one of his worst seasons in his career this last season. Only hit .245, .302, .414 for a .716 OPS. And you're looking at it from a war perspective, only a 1.3 war out of his 154 games played. He, at one point, he was batting seventh in the lineup. It was the first time since his Arizona days. I want to say it was like since 2011 or 2012 that he hit that low in the lineup. Now, he hit a home run like the very first time he put in that lineup. It was supposed to wake him up, but it really didn't overall once the season finally ended. Goldschmidt is a free agent, as you mentioned. We're going to see if he finds another spot. I do think he can still play baseball. I think he's a tremendous defensive first baseman. It just depends on if you're willing to take that bat. He's not going to get paid very much. I'm guessing a one-year deal at some much, but and there's not a one-year deal I don't like. You could even see him return to St. Louis, even if it is a rebuilding squad. I really could see that happening. I'm not going to hold my breath on the case, but I could see that potentially happening. I think the biggest thing we need to go into, though, Troy, is that if the full rebuild is going to start, and I feel like it's almost inevitable now the way that they've been talking over winter meetings and over just basically the last month of conversations, Nolan Arenado, is he going to be moved? And if so, Is it going to be worth the value for the St. Louis Cardinals to say goodbye to their cornerstone franchise piece that they've had for the last few seasons?
If they do intend to go into the full rebuild, then Nolan Arenado has to be moved, because it's, they have to get that money. Even if they don't get all of the money off their payroll, they have to get at least a big chunk of that money off of their payroll so that they can have flexibility moving forward. If guys like Mason Wynn turn out to be superstars and be big players at the major league level, they can have money available to extend him early and get him at a much cheaper price, kind of along the same lines as the Atlanta Braves and Houston Astros have done throughout their years of being contenders. But with Nolan Arenado on the roster right now, while he is a good veteran presence, and there's really no other good veteran presence in the lineup, maybe Wilson Contreras, but I mean, how good of a veteran presence is he? You got to think about moving. I mean, you have to move Nolan Arenado to get the rebuild started, if that is your
now idea. I agree with you. I do think so too. And I think just based on the way they've been speaking about him, I don't think you can realistically bring him back just to be back in St. Louis. I don't think you can't bring him back as once you thought was the leader of your squad after having a, you know, just out front conversation saying we need to move him, we are willing to move him, and all that good things. Now obviously this is the case that Arenado is obviously aware that he's, you know, planning on being moved, because he has a no trade clause and he has changed to a spot now he is willing to move to six teams, and the six teams listed are the Los Angeles Dodgers, shocker, San Diego Padres, Boston Red Sox, Philadelphia Phillies, New York Mets, and the weird one here, not really weird if you know more about Nolan Arenado, but doesn't really fit in, is the Los Angeles Angels. All four or five of those teams are contenders, and then you have the Angels. However, Nolan Arenado is a California kid, so it would fit into him going home. That seems to be a nice thing for a lot of players that like to do at the end of their careers. We see Freddie Freeman did it with Los Angeles. We've seen plenty of players do so. Travis d'Arnaud, who the catcher for the Braves for such a long time, just went to the Angels to do the exact same thing. Could Nolan Arenado join him with the Angels, or do you see one of those other five teams a better fit for him in 2025?
The Angels have definitely shown that they're willing to make moves this offseason. They've been one of the more active teams this offseason, so it really would not surprise me if they went out and got him, especially because they want to upgrade over Anthony Rendon. That's who is going to go down as one of the worst signings in baseball history because of just the lack of time that he has played because of injury, plus saying he doesn't want to play a full 162 game season. And then when he has played, he's just been bad. So it's just, they want to upgrade over Anthony Rendon. It would not surprise me if he did wind up on the Angels, but there is another team in the National League that is a contender and needs an upgrade at third base a little bit more than the Angels do, and that's the Philadelphia Phillies, who could use the defensive upgrade at third base and who could also use a little more power coming from third base over their incumbent Alec Bohm, who is also on the trade block supposedly, and they've been shopping him throughout the offseason. So I think it does come down to either the Angels or the Phillies for where Nolan Arenado winds up before 2025.
Now there is another team that has popped up, but that team is not listed on Arenado's six. Now he can obviously, you know, change that list anytime he wants to. And that has been the Houston Astros. There has been rumors that the Astros are interested in Nolan Arenado, and I think that would be a good fit for him as well, the way that he pulls the baseball with the Crawford boxes. It would be an interesting aspect, though, because they just added Isaac Paredes. They just added Cam Smith in the Kyle Tucker trade. Both of those are third basemen by trade. Now, Paredes can play first base, and the Astros do need a first baseman as well. So you could fix your corner infield spots with two trades moving forward, and that could continue to keep the Astros in the flex, in back in the top of the AL West, in one of the most confusing but yet interesting divisions in baseball. Do you find that rumor about the Houston Astros to have any type of fluid? Do you think they got some any gas on that? Do you like that one?
I like that a lot better than the Dodgers, Padres, or Red Sox. I think that out of all the teams that we've talked about of him potentially going to, they're probably the third most likely. And like you said, his batted ball profile works perfectly there in Houston at the newly named Daikon Park. And it's the Astros seem to be, and Dana Brown seem to be, building their roster towards the dimensions of their ballpark with guys that pull the ball in the air to left field to hit home runs into the Crawford boxes with Isak Paredes and potentially Nolan Arenado, who, adding those two to a lineup that already includes Yordan Alvarez, they could break the home run record with those three guys alone, plus the 20-ish home runs that Jose Altuve adds. So I think they're probably the third most likely team out of those we've named for where he lands up.
Looking at the lineup and according to the Fangraphs right now, and this will be without Nolan Arenado, Mason Winn is your starting shortstop. He's your cornerstone. He's your future. Will it be enough? That's the big question. I might ask you that here in a minute. Alec Burleson set to play DH. Wilson Contreras moving to first base in this spot. You'll have third base will be Brendan Donovan. Nolan Gorman, second base. Lars Nootbaar, left field. Jordan Walker in right. Yvonne Herrera playing catcher. And Victor Scott in center field. To me, there's a lot of question marks there, but still a lot of youth. You have guys like Brendan Donovan, who have been fantastic in the leadoff spot, can play utilities. He's won a Gold Glover as a utility man in his first year up, but had a down year last year. Alec Burleson kind of came out on the scene with his power this past season. But, you know, if you got a guy like Wilson Contreras moving the first base, how much value are you going to put into your DH spot? Lars Nootbaar seems to be like maybe the guy. He's the new guy on the field, with the exception of Mason Winn, but again, had a down year with some injuries as well. And then you have the conversation of what's going on with Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker. Both of them were either just not performing well or weren't utilized properly by both management and front office in the, especially the second half of the season last year. I think there's a ton of question marks on the St. Louis Cardinals squad, not enough to have in a full half hour conversation here on First Pitch. So we'll definitely probably have to dig more into this later on in the season, maybe when we do the full preview, but just in a snapshot, looking at that, where do you see the issues and where do you, is this enough without Nolan Arenado, where it sits right now, would this be enough to compete in the National League Central? Do you see that even being a good squad?
No, I don't think it's anywhere close to enough to compete in the National League Central, especially with the Cubs adding Kyle Tucker and potentially adding another pitcher to their already strong rotation. I think that the Cubs are looking to run away with this, with the National League Central, pretty handily. Real quick, I do want to shout out Brendan Donovan, University of South Alabama alum. That's my alma mater as well as my wife. So shout out Brendan Donovan. But it's just a lack of power throughout the lineup. And I know it's a bunch of young guys and they could come into more power as they age, but Mason Winn, 15 home runs. Alec Burleson, 21 home runs. Wilson Contreras, 15 home runs. He was hurt. He didn't play the full season, so that's not really a bad total and would be a lot better over a full season. But Nolan Arenado, 16 home runs. That's not normal for him. Brendan Donovan, 14. Lars Nootbaar, 12, over 405 plate appearances. And then the last three guys, Jordan Walker only had 178 plate appearances, 5 home runs. Yvonne Herrera, 5 home runs, over 259 plate appearances. And Victor Scott, 2 home runs, over 155 plate appearances. It's just a lack of power really across the board. And then on the bench, Nolan Gorman had 19 and 402 plate appearances. So they really
look at those strikeouts. If you're just digging in, yeah, look at Gorman's strikeouts. If you're worried about that, his strikeout rate was terrible.
Was it? It was either
strikeouts or home runs with him, and it was really bad, and it was awful. I'm pretty sure he was really close to the, not just the franchise record, but like the MLB record for strikeout rate on the season. It was dreadful. No, I'm with you. I think there's a power issue, but I think there's just a bigger issue from that is utilizing your youth properly. And you have a lot of good youth in there. And can it be fixed? And obviously we're entering a lame duck year of John Mozeliak as well. He's going to be stepping down after the 2025 season. So what does that mean? Obviously they're not going to go all in and try to win a World Series. That just doesn't make sense with the roster it's constructed. So the best next step would be to break it down to the nuts and bolts and get rid of some of these players on expiring contracts with some value that maybe be at a certain age that doesn't fit for their future, and set it up properly for the next person to take charge over in 2025. I think that with that being said, you got some multiple pitchers on the squad as well, not just Nolan Arenado that we talk about. So some pitchers as well that should be on the move. Ryan Helsley, all-star, broke the saves record for St. Louis Cardinals last season. He's a potential guy who should be on the trade block, in my opinion. I know that there's been some talks. I don't know if there's been enough movement on it, but here's a guy that could easily bring in a lot of great value to a team that could be a contender. This is a guy that probably, I'm going to go out on a nut here and say 26 teams in the MLB would make him their closer, Troy. Like, that's how I feel about Ryan Helsley. He is that good of a baseball player. Having a guy like that in the back of your bullpen, even if he is your setup guy, having him as a 1-2 on a contender is great. And it's worth moving some prospects for a guy like Ryan Helsley. And then you got Sonny Gray. He's a little older. Contract might be tough. You probably have to move some money if that was the case, being it. But if I'm St. Louis, I'm taking and eating that money to bring in more prospects if I'm trying to build my farm system. And then you have a guy like Eric Fetty, who you just got in the trade deadline. Not a huge contract, but still a lot of value. Those three right there, I think, need to not be on the St. Louis Cardinals roster in 2025. I'm pretty sure that Helsley and Fetty will probably be on the move. Gray makes me worried that they're not going to be able to move that contract. Overall, what's your thoughts about this pitching staff? I know I went pretty quick here, but a lot of issues and a lot of concerns about them not making a lot of movement yet. The winter meetings didn't really make the movements that we were hoping that St. Louis would make.
Yeah, it was. I mean, they had the pitching staff was really the strength in 2024, and that's really what you come to know from the Cardinals throughout the history of their franchise is their strong pitching. But I agree with you. I think that if they do, same with Nolan Arenado, if they do want to really dive into this full rebuild, then they need to move the guys that are going to give them the biggest returns. And that's Ryan Helsley, Eric Fetty, and Sonny Gray, even if they have to eat some of that contract. Because, I mean, even at 35 years old, Sonny Gray put up a 3.84 ERA in over 160 innings, and Eric Fetty a 3.30 ERA in 170 innings. And then you already talked about what Helsley did, and it's just those three guys plus Nolan Arenado, if they could move those, they could restock the farm, and it would really kickstart their rebuild in a big way that could really shorten the length of it in the long run.
Yeah, Sonny Gray to me screams like a guy that no longer needs to be an ace, but is only 2 years away from being the runner-up for the American League Cy Young. So if a contender went after Sonny Gray and was willing to move some prospects for Sonny Gray if St. Louis would trade him and eat some of the money, which there's no reason why St. Louis should do that, it would be a perfect fit. I think that would be a perfect fit. If I'm St. Louis, I'm willing to take almost all of that money and hold on to it, at least for 2025, and just hope that, you know, you can get the best prospect return back, because you're not going to compete. There's a little teaser of what I think the prediction is going to be once we end this show. St. Louis is not going to be a team that competes in 2025. Not the way that this NL Central is looking, not the way that we saw Milwaukee outsurge this last season, not the way that Chicago's stepping up already with some of these trades. And then you have teams like Cincinnati and Pittsburgh who are on the up and up. There's one team that is sticking out like any compared to all the rest of them in the division, and that's St. Louis. And it's not for the good reasons. It's not for the right reasons. They're kind of in the same boat that Cincinnati was just a few years ago. But unfortunately, their farm system doesn't look as good as Cincinnati's did at that time. They have to make some moves to build up to get some potential free agents and potential prospects to get them back in the way they go. They have some young players at the MLB level right now, but if it's the same as we see from last year, Troy, it's not enough. And the progression needs to make a huge step up this offseason. I don't have that much faith, because the biggest issues were hitting with guys like Jordan Walker, with guys like Nolan Gorman. And I just don't know if that's enough, and we'll see what happens. But moving to Sonny Gray, and I went on a little tangent there. Sonny Gray, I think, is going to be a guy that you got to move. I think Eric Fetty, any team can land him. That contract is safe, and I think even if you hold on to him, he's a guy that moves at the deadline again. But Helsley also needs to be moved as well. Those three guys need to not be on the Cardinals in 2025. I'm going to stick to it. They have to be gone, because they need to bring in more prospects. St. Louis needs to be talked about as one of the top 10 prospects, top 10 farm systems in the league once we start opening day in 2025, regardless of how that opening day roster looks like. They need to be worried about their farm system this year, because they're not going to compete, Troy.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. And Sonny
Gray, how do you like that for a tangent?
we are just chock full of them over the last couple of weeks, but I'm rubbing off on you and Lindsay. But Sonny Gray and Eric Fetty, I mean, both of those guys scream Dodgers, especially with how injured their pitching staff is. I mean, you can't expect Blake Snell. He's only done it. He's only qualified for the ERA title twice in his career. Granted, both times he did it, he won the Cy Young. Tyler Glasnow has never pitched more than 134 innings in his career. Yoshinobu Yamamoto is only going into the second season of his career. He did not qualify for the ERA title because of injuries in 2024. Clayton Kershaw is consistently injured. Sonny Gray at 35 years old qualified for the ERA title. Eric Fetty, at 31 years old, still arbitration eligible, qualified for the ERA title, and had a 3.3 ERA in the process of doing it. So it's both of those guys could be big additions either before 2025 or at the deadline to the Los Angeles Dodgers rotation. And then Helsley, honestly, he's kind of been linked to the Phillies too in trade talks. So it wouldn't surprise me if you see him, because the Phillies need bullpen help really bad. They need bullpen help, especially with Jeff Hoffman leaving. They signed Jordan Romano, but who knows how that's going to turn out and if he can stay healthy. But if the Phillies are a team that could use Ryan Helsley, and they have the prospects that can get a trade for Ryan Helsley done.
We talk about money, and if the Cardinals are willing to eat contracts, how about Sonny Gray to the Padres? They're hurting for contracts right now, right? They're hurting for money. They're not sure where they're going to find that. If St. Louis is willing to hold that money, and Padres still has some prospects on the table, if they're willing to move on for some of those prospects for a guy like Sonny Gray to keep them competitive, I think that would also fit as well. Any player that screams Dodgers probably screams Padres as well. It just depends if the Padres are willing or have the amount of funds to do so, because the Padres are trying to do exactly what the Dodgers are doing. They just unfortunately don't have the money right now based on all the rest of the players that they have signed and their question marks about where the future holds with that organization because of the passing of their owner just last season. There's obviously some current concerns on that one. As the NL Central sits now, it sounds like this is going to be a little shorter episode than usual, which is fine. No worries, because we're probably going to have more to talk about here, because we'll take a quick little breath, because it sounds like winter meetings was just looks like people are recovering from that. There's going to be more coming. I would not be shocked to see a trade happening in the next 24 hours of this recording getting published, right, Troy, whether it's the Cardinals or not. But looking at the NL Central right now, you have the Cardinals who just traded for Kyle Tucker. That's a huge trade coming into your division. That's a huge trade. One of the top 10 baseball players in baseball when healthy. You got the Milwaukee Brewers who shocked the world last year after trading Corbin Burns away. They still won the division. Now they let Willy Adames walk. Are they vulnerable, or are they going to shock the world again? You got the Pittsburgh Pirates who have an immaculate pitching staff. They haven't built around them enough yet, but they have some pieces. Will they take the next step forward? And then the Cincinnati Reds, who had some injuries to their team that weren't up to their full potential, but they have a great pitching staff as well. They're bound to have an up and up here. Is it safe to say that the Cardinals are, as of right now, would you put them last place in the NL Central?
Honestly, it's between them and the Pirates, because to me, the NL Central is a lot like the American League Central. I don't know if it's as much of a crapshoot as the American League Central. And I don't think any team in the National League Central is going to lose 135 games or whatever it was the White Sox did. But it's for me, it's between the Cardinals and the Pirates, because while the Pirates did have good pitching, their offense, much like the Cardinals, was just really non-existent. And the Pirates are also talking about trading some of that pitching this offseason. I think Mitch Keller is on the block. So it's they're probably looking to go into yet another long rebuild that they still have not exited. Hunter Green deserves better for the Cincinnati Reds. But if they can stay healthy, they're probably going to finish third in this division in 2025. The Brewers, like you said, they let Willy Adames walk in free agency. He's now a San Francisco Giant. They're talking about trading Rhys Hoskins, and they already have a lack of power throughout their lineup, like Lindsay and I talked about on Monday's episode. So they're the Cubs for me, man. After trading for Kyle Tucker and everything they've done, adding to their rotation that was already one of the better ones in baseball, and adding Kyle Tucker, wanting to move Cody Bellinger and add another pitcher, I think the Cubs are going to run away with this division handily for the first time. It's probably going to be their best season since 2016.
Well, that's what a lot of people thought last year, and it didn't happen, but it's hard not to believe it right now as we sit in the middle of December heading into 2025. I'm with you on that one. I just don't know what the Cardinals can prove. They have to rebuild. They got to do something. And for the record, I know we talked about the Cardinals today, but just based on what you just said, if the Pittsburgh Pirates go back into a rebuild with arguably the greatest pitcher that we have seen over the last couple of years in Paul Skenes on their roster, they need to call the National Guard on him. I mean, they really need to do that's just it's illegal. It's got to be illegal. It's got to be. It's just unfortunate. But I'm with you. I think the Cardinals right now have a lot of work to do. I would not expect them to make the postseason anytime soon. Honestly, I think they're 3 years away right now from the postseason. That's where I feel about this squad. And that needs to mean they need to build up their farm system and their prospects moving forward. Troy, anything else before we head out on this one, on this fun Tuesday afternoon episode?
As things stand right now, I'm going to go ahead and give my prediction for the Cardinals' final record being 70-92.
Okay. All right. I wasn't ready to give a record, but I'll play along. 70-92. That'd be dreadful, and that would, I think, to be even worse than the record from just a few years ago, if I remember correctly. So I'm not going to go that far. I'm going to go ahead and say, 72-90. There we go. I'll go a little higher than you, but I think it's, I think they're a little better than that. I don't think they hit 90 losses now that I say that out loud. Probably 85 losses. So whatever that does for math.
77-85.
There it is. So that's where I'll go there. I didn't have my calculator in front of me, and my bachelor's degree doesn't give me math on hand. So there it is. All right, folks, we'll see you here next time on another episode. But until then, please like the video. Please subscribe. Please comment below. Please tell us what we said wrong. If we spelled like Ian Hop's name wrong or something, like everybody liked to pick on us last episode, whatever it is, so fine. Whatever. Let us know in the comment description below. Until next time, we'll see you here on First Pitch.